Today's daf from the second Shabbat Barat Yevibin Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Kuf Chet, and we are holding on daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beit at the words Omar Shmuel, I believe. Is that right? Everybody on with me on that one? 7 lines in? Omar Shmuel. Hasholet Dag Min Hayam. Okay, we've been discussing various elements of the difference between Netilat Neshama of sexually reproducing entities versus anything else. And today we're going to extend this into fish. So Shmuel says, if you remove a fish from water, the fish doesn't actually have to die for you to have done the melakha, because what you have done, once you've put it into a position where it cannot survive, is the equivalent of Netilat Neshama. And therefore, kivan sheyavash bo kesela, if an area that covers the size of a selah coin has gotten dried, and we'll see what's referring to the gill area, you're already chayev, because even though the fish continues to thrash about, there's no way that it can revive even if it's put back into the water at that stage. This is referring to bein snapirav, specifically in the area of the gills, between those upper fins. By the way, when it says dry, it doesn't mean literally dry. I mean, for it to be dry, it's already dead. It means afilo de'avad riri. It's talking about where it's already, if you touch it, it will draw a mucus line from your finger to it. It means it's already dried enough to make it fatal. Someone who inserts his hand into the uterus of an animal, a mammal, and disattaches the fetus from the placenta, or a placenta from the uterus, would be chayev. Now, why would it be chayev? My taima, my rabbi, well, I spoke this over with Baram Duri. He was quoted it, recording it from Shmuel, and Baram Duri Asberli, he explained to me that, look, did not Rav Sheshet say that Haiman de Tolash Kashuta Mehizmi Vehigi Mechayev Mishum Oker Davar Megidulo? Didn't Rav Sheshet say that somebody who picks off Kishuta, now, the problem is that Kishuta, Rashi says in Humlon. Humlon is, in fact, the word for hops. And often the Kishuta is the word that we use, Kishut. Kishut is what's in Hebrew, the Chaf Yur Shin Vav Taf, is Kishuta in Aramaic, and you make beer from it. The problem is that Kishuta is a normal plant. It's not a parasitic plant. And what the Gemara is talking about over here is specifically either a fungus or a parasitic plant that does not have its own roots. So I don't really know which type. I mean, there's 6 different types of humulones. All of them are flowering plants with their own roots, so I cannot tell you what we're referring to over here. But Rashi understands that the kishuta that is growing on a hizmi vehigi, and that is on just on a regular thorn bush, and is getting its nourishment from the bush that it's actually on, not from its own roots. Nonetheless, if you take it off of the bush, you are chayav mishum oker davar migidulos, even though it itself doesn't have its own individual chiyud. It's considered to be kotser because of the fact that you harvested it. This is its harvest. You've taken it from the place where it grows. Now, it's true that it's not growing from the ground, but it's growing from something that is growing on the ground, and that's the same thing. So if that's the case, here where I'm plucking off the embryo, so to speak, from the uterus, I am also doing the same thing, and I'm chayev. Now, there's big machlokas about what this could possibly mean. The Rishami learns the chiyuv over here is from kotser, which the Ramban says makes no sense at all, since, at least in the Bavli, it's clear that kotser is only big gidulei karka. Nowhere do we find that a mammal is considered to be gidulei karka, vis-a-vis that we do find, in certain ways, it's called gidulei karka, but there's no place where we find gidulei karka in terms of ketira for Shabbat. And therefore, he learns that this is a loose comparison. In other words, all the Gemara is saying is that in the same way that a fungus or a parasitic growth is considered to be vis-a-vis itself, ketzira, this is its life, because this is where it grows. So to an embryo, which does not have its own life, which is currently attached parasitically to its mother, is going to be the same thing as pulling off the kishut. Obviously, the kishut is in terms of ketzira, the pulling off the embryos in terms of murder, and that would be, for Shabbos, that's a tilat neshama. It's not nothing to do with ketzira. Others learn that this is an element of gozeis, because detaching something from an animal organism is included not in ketzira from the earth, but geziza from the skin, like hair, nails, parasites, like children, or at least fetuses. Okay. All right, anyway, so we have a three-way machlokas on this. Now, far this goes, if you have a fungal growth around your fish tank, and you take off the fungus from your fish tank, this does not mean amoebas necessarily, obviously, but really a fungus around a bucket where you have mushrooms growing, then that is considered, even though it's not attached to the ground at all, that's considered to be oker davar b'gidulo, and you would be chayev on that. Mati Rav Hoshaya, according to that, something really doesn't add up, because we know that there's a tremendous difference between a flower pot that has a hole in it and a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it. Now, if you detach something from a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it, you're potter, because it does not draw nourishment from the ground. But according to what you're saying, it nonetheless should be considered to be oker davar migidulo, and it's growing. So how come you're not chayev? Answers the Gemara, to see that inside. But Rav Hoshaya, what about a tole shebi atzitz nakuv chayav, but she eino nakuv patur? How do you explain that? Answers the Gemara, explain very simply. Hatam lav einu levite. When you have planted in a flower pot without a hole, that is not the standard way for that plant to be growing naturally. But when you are plucking a mushroom, that's how mushrooms grow. They grow off of whatever living organism or even a pot that they're growing on. They leave it in a sink long enough, as I'm sure Moshe has discovered in his kitchen, and therefore you would be chayev. Yeah, I'm sure it is. Okay, continues the Gemara. Now to explain the next, please. Okay, the next thing we spoke about is the din of chayav oath. And we were talking about the din of or, and at what point the or is considered to be kabosar. We've gotten into all types of fascinating interactions with Gabi Dishman Ashratzim, first four, last four, the difference between Ashratzim and a chayav oath. But you'll notice that we did not include the dinim of ketivat tefillin legabi ofot. We'd like to get to that today. Om revu mekotvin tefillin agabi or shel of tahor. Being as in this week's parasha, we just read Mamantia Torah Hashem beficha, and that pasuk, of course, tells us how to write the very tefillin that it's talking about. So let's take a look at this today. You can write tefillin on the skin of a kosher bird. Om revu yosef. Well, why not? I mean, is the chiddush by kamashva the eat lay or that is considered to be technically skin? I mean, why wouldn't it be? Is this the whole? It says, "Tanina hakovel v'mchayav." Remember that that was one of the things that it said in the Mishnah. Although we needed to be mechalek the din vis-a-vis the shratzim, that there's a difference between the shmona shratzim and other shratzim, but we said, and this is the quote that we brought from our Mishnah, "Chayav of." That's what you're chayav on. So why wouldn't you be able to write the filin? No, sir. Tuva kamashva teaches a heck of a lot. Because imi matnitin. Look, all the Mishnah would have told us is that it technically has skin. That doesn't mean that every skin is kosher. I mean, obviously, there's something unique about bird skin. And what's unique about bird skin is the fact that birds have feathers. When you pull out those feathers, you leave little nicks in the skin. And kiva di itbe nikve nikve lo. I might have thought that it is not suitable to write tefillin because there's a nekev. And ktiva has to be ktiva tama. And this is not ktiva tama. Kamash malan. Therefore, the chiddush is, as they say in Eretz Yisrael, kireyam rebe ma'arava kol nekev shadyo overet alav eino nekev. Even though normally a nekev is ma'akev ktiva, but in the event that normal, not what we call ink, obviously, but the ink that's used for the Sefer Torah, which is thick and actually doesn't penetrate but sits there on top, if it doesn't sink into the hole and it leaves a flat letter on top, then that is, for all intents and purposes, not there. And therefore, my chiddush is bird skin kosher. Meitvei, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks, when it comes to the din of the olata of, so it says over there in the Torah that you should vishisa oto bechnafav lo yavdil. So you tear apart the before putting it onto the mizbeach. You don't tear it into two parts, lo yavdil, but you open up the bird and you put it on bichdafav with its feathers. Now, obviously, with its feathers, you haven't removed the skin, because if you remove the skin, then you remove the feathers. So that means that the Torah is specifically telling us you do not need to do for an olata oath what you do need to do for an olata beima, namely, hafshata. You do not need to skin it. Now, if you are right, Tainis Rebbe Zera, and you're considering the skin of a bird to be skin, so then, how would the Torah tell us to put it on the Mizbeach when we know that you're not allowed to put or on the Mizbeach? I'm like, what weird question is that? I mean, what, there's this magical halacha, no skin can be put on the Mizbeach. where the Torah says to do afshata, don't put it on the Mizbeach. Where it says, do put it on the Mizbeach, do put it on the Mizbeach. How does that mean it's not skin? Or who? V'rachmana ravya. It is perfectly kosher skin, but the Torah said to put it on the Mizbeach. What's your problem with that? In fact, others have learned that it was something very different. Rabbi Zera wasn't coming to ask a question. He was coming to give a proof. He was saying, we can see this clearly, that it's considered to be skin, because it says, so now, if you'll tell me that normally it has a din of skin, that would explain why the Pasuk has to tell you, well, in this case, I want you to put the skin on the Mizbeach. Because normally we're used to the typical olat beima, where you don't put the skin on the Mizbeach. So I know the Yitzchak Krala Ravuya, that would explain why I need a Pasuk to even mention it. But if you're telling me lav orhu, if you're saying it's not skin, then why mention it? On my Yitzchak Krala Ravuya, there's no Kiddush. Or my Abaye, that's not necessarily true. I mean, I absolutely agree with you, but I could say to you, lola meimala, I could claim that not necessarily is it or, and nonetheless it's trich. Because sarkatayt chamina, kivan de eat by pritze pritze. Look, since, I mean, bird skin is just not really nice, you know? It's got all of these tears in it with feathers sticking out and everything. So I would say it's mice, it's disgusting. And therefore, even if you consider it to be meat and edible, you don't put something disgusting on the Mizbeach. Kamashma, and therefore the Torah needed to be marba it, that the Lord does not find it disgusting. Boy me name marbarate ravina mirunakura yeshak. What about writing tefillin on the skin of a fish, a kosher fish? Al-gavei or shel dak tahor. Omar Leh, he said, well, we could discuss it with Elijah, you know. If he comes around, I'll bring it up. Im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar. Let him say. What kind of weird response is that? Im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar. Either it has a din of or not. What are you talking about? I mean, you're wondering whether it has or? I mean, eat leor, let leor? Is that what's bothering you? Use your eyes, okay? A chazina to eat leor is very significant on a large fish. There's very significant skin, and it's definitely skin like other skin. Why wouldn't it be kosher? Besides the fact that it happens to be that it says beferush that it is not a din of fish. It's a din of skin. How do we know that? Because it says in the mission, Alot, atzamot hadag v'oro, matzilin v'ol hamet. Now, anything which is food cannot serve as a mechitza between Tuma, the source of Tuma, and a penetration of that Tuma. Because anything that is itself subject to Tuma will conduct Tuma, and therefore Tuma will go right through it. So if you want to create a boundary in an Olamate, it has to be with a non-conductor to Tuma. Now, it says over here that fish skin is a non-conductor of Tuma, and that it serves as a perfectly valid mechitza. And if you're telling me that it would have a din of, well, it's just sort of like hard flesh, but it's not skin, so then it would not work in the Olamate, because it would contract Tuma. Ella, no. The reason I said Im Yavo Eliyahu is because of something that I can't really quantify. And that is, Ipaska Zua Mamine, Ilo Paska Zua Mamine. The question is, fish stink, basically. Now, how much are we willing to tolerate in terms of the Zuama of the fish when it's dried? Now, I don't know any halakhic actual standards for that, and you're asking me something which is not at this point quantifiable. We could speak about it to Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, there's an interesting Kiddush Aran, which is not really by the Ran, but which, you know, it was Mityaches to the Ran. But there's an interesting Kiddush Aran who says, Yipaskim Nei Zulama has to do with spiritual Zulama. Because remember, when the Nachash had intercourse with Chava, the Gemara says that he made her stink, so to speak. So, Yichnizba Zulama, that was evil, does something to you. You've never noticed that snakes are obvious phallic symbols? What do you think they do? So, you probably haven't even noticed that mosques are phallic symbols.
No, I know that one.
So anyway, so the Gemara says that he was metame humanity. Now, Yisrael, who stood in Nehar Sinai, so at that point the Gemara says, Poska Zuamatan, they lost their Zuama. The animals that were also by Har Sinai. It says over there, the Beima can't cross over the Gvulot of Har Sinai. They were also Paska Zua Matam, which is, of course, why the Goyim are so attracted to Jewish, beautiful Jewish animals, nice, curly-haired Jewish animals, you know. But the question is, fish, we're not at Har Sinai. There you go. We're fish, Paska Zua Matam. That's the question. So are they still viewed as essentially reptilian?
The other two can say, in our Shabbat, it's Dakala fish.
What does that have to do with Pesach? Okay, anyway. Anything that we're talking about fish?
They don't eat shchita, they don't eat.
Curly haired animals.
That's because they're not totally living.
By definition, would not work at all then.
What? Snakes wouldn't work. Well, it has to be kosher. Shmuel v'karna. You know, the Medrash about they like sleeping with Jewish animals. Shmuel v'karna. Now, Shmuel and Karna were Yad v'agudah d'nahar Malka. They were sitting at the edge of the Malka River. And it was a calm day, and yet for some reason, Chazino Lamayad Kadalu v'Achire, they saw that the water was on its own, rising in a particular direction, and very agitated. Shmuel said to Karna, there's only one explanation for this. Apparently a great man, this river came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, a great man is obviously on his way from Eretz Yisrael, and he's having stomach trouble, and the water needs to provide a mechitza for him. And so in his covet, the water is rising. Go down to the port and see what he's like. And since he's obviously having stomach trouble, and Shmuel was a doctor, if you find him to be someone that is really suitable for our covet, I mean, it's one thing for God to be mechabed him, but you know, I need him a bechina, you know. So if he's suitable for our covet, bring him over to my house and I'll fix him. Okay, so go zil toilea kankane, go and sniff him out. That's the word that's used for sniffing out wine, toilea. Also, Hashkel Rav, who does he find? Rav, who of course later on turned to be the greatest citizen. So just ask a few questions to find out whether he's really on the ball. So Karna says to him, Minayin she'in kotvin tefillin el, you might have said Shalom Aleichem first, Minayin she'in kotvin tefillin el agave or be'ma Torah. How do you know the skin has to be kosher? Or Malay. Oh, you weren't listening to Torah today. It says, Lomati et Torah Hashem pepicha. The Torah should be in your mouth. What does it mean in your mouth? Minam mutar pepicha. It has to be something that you could eat. Minayin ledam shu'a adom. How do we know that dam, remember, dam of anita, we said, needs to be specifically either red or red exposed to the air that turns black. How do you know that other hafrashot is not considered to be dam of anita? So what makes us say that the only thing we will include in dam is red? Said raftem shema v'yir'u mo'av mineget ha'mayim adumim kidam. Obviously, we're using now red as the model. Dam is the model for red. Minayin lamila shabatomakam. Whoever said, never says in the Torah, just says yimob sar lachem. What makes you think that that's a reference to penises? Anyway, maybe you're supposed to snip off your ear. That doesn't say anything about what you're supposed to snip off. Well, said Rav, it says orlato, right? It says bisar orlato. Now, where else does it say orlato? Well, it's this week's Tu B'Shvat. It's all about how old the tree is. The only other place it uses orlato, varaltemet orlato, is about trees. And what does it mean on a tree? Don't eat the fruit for 3 years. Well, if that's the case, just like by a tree, it's referring to davar she'osapri. It's the where it is that it reproduces. That's the fruit. Afkan davar she'osapri is a part of the body that reproduces. Well, said Karna, there's other places where we find the word arla used. How about your heart, your non-responsive heart, where it says umaltem, it's orlat levavchem. So maybe you're supposed to do a little valve job. Or ema ozno. I mean, it does say ine orla uznam. So how do we know that it doesn't mean your ears? Maybe you're supposed to cut off a little piece of your ear. Because, said Rav, orlato is a full word. Arlat is not a full word. It's obviously connected to someone else, something else. Arlat of. So it's samuch. So we learn arlato, tama, mi arlato, tama. You don't learn out an arlato, which includes its full reference in the word. And so we have its antecedent here. From arlat, where it's not telling you arlat what? And what kind of use of exerah shavah would that be? From an arlat, she'ino tama. At that point, Rav realized, hold on again. Who the heck does this guy think he is? He's obviously not interested in knowing this. Who do you think he is to give me a test? So he says to him, what's your name? He says, my name is Karna. Karna, that's a great name. May you grow a nice horn right in your eyes. Ne'eravata typically Karna be'ene.
Oh, man.
Anyway, l'sofa'i l'shmuel abed. So anyway, when Shmuel got the report that this guy is serious, so he brings him to his home. And now, he doesn't want to openly discuss the fact that he's having serious stomach problems and so on. I mean, he's a guest. But he decides that he'll cure him as only he knows how. And so he gives him Nahamadasari, he gives him this barley bread, together with this really tough kasadar sana, this really tough cheese spread that kills you. Mix it with beer, and then let it sit there for a while until you're about ready to explode. And then finally, give him the keys to the bathroom, and then and only then will he drop it all. And he refused to show him where the bathroom is. Meanwhile, Rav is going insane. He thinks this is another madman like that first guy with the horn. So he said, he did this, of course, he did this in order that he should get some really desperate diarrhea and empty out his system. Anyway, Rav got so angry that he cursed him. And he said, the man who is putting me through hell should not have any children that live. That's what happened to poor Shmuel because of this mice. Anyway, ketanoi. This discussion about how we know what Orla refers to is actually a machloket tanaim. Minayin lemila shebaoto makom. How do we know that mila is something genital? Nemakan orlaton, nemalalon orlaton, malalon dovashos sepri. Because this by a tree, it's referring to its reproductive system. Afkan dovashos sepri. By human, it's also got to be referring to its reproduction system. Divrei Rabbi Yosha, Rabbi Nasi, what are you making things so complicated? I mean, you know, it doesn't take the full knowledge of the birds and the bees to know that an oral zachar is obviously something that has to do with defining him as male. So it says oral zachar asher lo yomol b'sar lato. So that it must mean makom shenikar ben zachrut u'nakvut. I mean, even little kids know that. Tan rabbanan kotvin tefillin agabe or beima torah. You write tefillin only on the skin of an or beima torah or the skin of a chaya torah, and even agabe or nevelot v'treifot shalem, even on things that are nevelos or treifos. That's not the problem. It's not, in other words, apparently you don't have to actually eat it. It's a din in the species. The species has to be kosher to eat. And also, when you are wrapping the parshiot up, they are nichrachot b'saran. You have to use hair from a kosher animal. And nitvarot b'gidin. And you use also the sinews of an animal to sew up. You can't go and just buy some thread and sew up your tefillin. It's actually halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai that tefillin are nichrachot with the same type of animal that you can light, write the tefillin on, and nidvarot beginin. But you can certainly not write tefillin on the skin of a behemah tameah, on the skin of a chaya tameah, and certainly not on the or of the nevela v'treifa shelahem. And you can't even eat the living ones. Ve'in nichrachin b'saran, ve'in nitparot b'gidin. Ve'zushe elash al baitusi achad. A certain baitusi who wasn't quite all that religious, he asked Rabbi Yeshua Garzi, how do you know that you don't write tefillin on an orbe matameah? So he told him, because it says, l'man tiyat Torah Hashem b'ficha. That means, midavar mutar b'ficha, something you can eat. Well, if that's the case, you can't eat nevelot v'treifot. So then, nelamiyata gabi or nevelot v'treifot ayikatev. You should be able to write it on the nevela v'treifa. Omar lo, listen, shalva mashal. You know, you can have two people. Omar davar dumeh shnei be'adam shnitchavu arigal amalchut. So you have two people that basically were chayev in the courts, the capital punishment. Now, echad arago melech. One of them was killed directly by the king. And one of them was just put into a death row, you know, they ended up electrocuting him and so on, but the Yispakli Torah. Who do you think has a higher status? Is that Meshubach? So basically, Nevela, Trefot, those are acts of God. Acts of God do not passel something. But, I mean, something that's been thrown to the executioners and is not meant to be eaten at all, to be used by people, that's already low class. So if that's the case, well, if they're so valuable, because God himself has killed them, why isn't that a good shechita? We should eat them. He asked him, now what kind of crazy thing is that? Are we saying it's because of status? Any nevela, even the ones that were killed by the king, you can't eat. So obviously this is a din in the species, not in the individual. Okay, good, I take it. And now, a word from our president.
Dr. Helika Mishnah.
Ein osin hilmi b'shabbos. You cannot make hilmi. Now, hilmi is essentially salt water with some flavorings. But the problem of it, it's a dip. And the problem with this hilmi is that it is very highly salted and generally used as part of the preserving of foods. Now, the question is, Rashi learns that therefore this is a problem of me'abed, which is the working, tanning. Even though we said before there's no such thing as ibud bo'ochlin, you can't tan foods, but there are rabbanan asur. The Rambam learns that this is a din in bishul, because salting cooks, and therefore it's like preparing, it's a tikkun of ochlin on Shabbat. And therefore you don't make hilmi, which is part of that process on Shabbat, avaloseru mei melach, you can make a little bit of salt water to dip into, v'tovel ben pito, you can put in your salt into your tafshil, that would be fine. On Reb Yossi, what do you mean that would be fine? I mean, since when is the amount of something definitive of whether it's okay to make it on Shabbat or not? It's the same thing. Hu hilmi, bein meruba, bein mu'at. What's the difference of a lot or a little? Ve'elu hein mei melach ha-mutarin. You know how you could, you want to make a salt dip. I'll tell you to make a salt dip on Shabbat. But don't tell me it's a function of how much you make. You put in a little oil first. If you have oil before you put in the water, I don't care if you put the salt first or the oil first, as long as you put the water at the end. By the time you add the water, it no longer, the salt will no longer give the same power of ibud to the water or tafshil to the water, because the shemen now makes it no longer effective as it was before. Yeah, what's going on? What do you mean? Don't make hilmi, but make me melach meh. Well, it's basically the same thing, right? Michael, what's what she talking about? Omri b'yidam ha'shmol ha'kama. Well, no, what it's saying is, eino sin mei melach merubin. That's the point. Hilmi means that's something you keep in a jar and it's there and you put stuff in it or you pour it in and it stays for a few months. So it means don't make a big jar of this stuff. But you can make a little salt water, that's all. You know, a little bit of salt water you'll call hilmi. So it's still mei melach merutin. To which Rabbi Yossi says, well, what's the difference? It's the same hilmi, isn't it? Bein merubin, bein mu'atin. Obviously, another little ingredient here and there doesn't make any difference. I mean, just because it's got some, beet flavor or whatever. The boilu, what did Rabbi Yossi mean? It's the same thing. That both are mutter or both are usher. I mean, it's an awfully opaque statement. So was Rabbi Yossi saying they're both usher, or were they saying they're both mutter? Says Rabbi Yossi, well, he was obviously saying it's mutter, because if he meant that it was usher, wouldn't he have said so? Midalokatani Rabbi Yossi oser. Why doesn't it say that Rabbi Yossi says it's prohibited? Get the Rabbah says, Rabbah, how could you understand Rabbi Yossi that way? Excuse me, can you please continue reading? The Mishnah goes on to say, actually, the following is the only type of meimelach that are mutarim. So and then it means that what Rabbi Yossi is saying, it's usher. You want to discuss what's mutar, I'll tell you. So obviously, Rabbi Yossi was coming le'esor. Elama Rabbah le'esor. And you're wrong. He was coming to say it's not permitted. And in fact, the Braita makes that very clear. It restates the Mishnah to make it a bit clearer in the Braita. So you don't make a lot of mei melach to put into your pickles that you keep in the gistra. The gistra, you will recall from the dinim of Kalim. What is the gistra? A broken piece of cheres, so that they would used to use that for storing pickles. So, just put pickles in there, and then you throw the whole thing out when you finish your pickles. So it's a disposable pickle jar. So you don't make the hilmi, which is here called meimelach merubin, because that's essentially the point, avaloseu meimelach muatin, and you can use it to eat a piece of bread with, or you can put it into your cholent. And Rabbi Yossi makes it very clear in the Braita, v'chini b'nei sh'alolo merubin, v'alolo muatim, alolo asrim, alolo mutarin. What, just because one's a little, one's a lot, that makes a difference between mutar or asr. I suppose we should say a little bit of cooking on Shabbos is mutar, but a lot is asr. Or making a little candle is mutar, but a big fire is asr. Well, kind of, I never heard of such a thing. Yomru malakam ruba asura, malakam muatet mutaret. So here clearly Rabbi Yossi states openly, we're not talking about Eter, we're talking about Isser. And if you want to do something, I'll tell you what you could do. You can make a little bit with oil. So don't take Shemen v'melach, or Shemen u'mayim, or b'vachsho, you take the mayim u'melach first, and it always first has a little bit of oil, either on the salt or under the salt. Tony Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Ein Osin Mei Melach Azin. You are not allowed to make from anybody very, very intense Mei Melach. And what defines that? My Mei Melach Azin, Rabba Rav Yossi Bar Abba Damar Davayu. If you can get an egg to float in it, then its density is too high. So then Kosha Beitzat Safa Behem. And well, what kind of density is that? On Rabbi, boy, that is dense. That's 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. Okay. So, Lamai Avde, why would anybody make that? Whoa. Om Rabbi Abu, because it's great for herring innards, you know. You want to pour the fish innards, that's lemuraisa. Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, ein molchin tznonu beitza b'Shabbat. You cannot salt a radish and an egg on Shabbos. Whereas Reb Chizkiya b'Shmini Abaye says, it's true you don't salt radish, because that indeed is a preparation of the radish, because the radish actually hardens. It loses its a lot of its juice to the salt. And because of that, it makes an actual change. It doesn't just flavor the radish. It makes a change in the radish. So the tznon is also, and that's what the Rambam is saying, it's like tafsha. But a beitzah is mutar, all you're doing is giving a taste. Omer of Nachman, you know, I used to salt radishes, I'll tell you why, mirei shavim alakha pugla, because I figured, amina afsudikum afsidna, because I'm actually ruining it. I'm not making it any better, because Shmuel said, pugla churpi male. The fresher, more raw the radish is, the better it is for you. And Shmuel's a doctor, and I figured, you know, always trust the guy in the white suit on TV. But then, kivan del shamanalov, tekhliata sh'ula amra b'ma'arava, when Shmuel came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, you know what they say in Eretz Yisrael? I'll tell you what they used to do there. I don't know about Shmuel, but over there they were malchi kishre kishre. You know, they would slice these radishes, pile them up, and then they would sit there salting them and let them sit in the salt. And obviously they didn't think it was a problem. Mimlach lo malachna. So now I don't salt them like that, because that's real preparation. However, I do dip them. I dip them in a sauce. Tony Reb Yehuda bar Chaviva, you know, speaking of these tznons, let me tell you something. If an etrog didn't have a skin, and a tznon didn't have a skin, and the beitza didn't have its white, which is like a skin, this is how Rashi learns, if it wasn't for that outer layer, you'd put one of them inside and it never would come out. Those things would get so hard, you never get rid of them. I want you to know nobody ever drowned in the Me'am HaMelech. Omer of Yosef, you know, they overturned Sodom and they overturned crazy things like that. What is that supposed to mean? Gavra the Lord, what do you mean? A human never drowned, but what? But like a piece of wood you could sink? Kishura Tova. Omer of Yosef, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. He's trying to tell you how luck, he's not telling you Baba Mises. Lami Baika, Omar. Lami Baika Shura. Obviously, wood floats, Reverend Sakes. What he's saying is that the density of the water is such that you cannot sink a human in it. So that Afilu Gavra, who will be Tava B'choy Majbolam, B'yama D'stom Lo Tava. So you'll say, so who cares? I'll tell you who cares. L'mayin Afkemina, K'yada Ravin. Avishok V'yazal Akhari the Rabbi Yirmiyah Aguda D'yama D'stom. Ravin was walking behind Rabbi Yirmiyah doing a tiyul around the Yama Melech. Omale, so he said, tell me something, are you allowed, Lamimshe Me'ani Maya B'Shabbat, can you utilize this water on Shabbos? Because it's like a refuah. The most learned, this means, can I actually wash my face with it over my eyes, as long as it's not obvious that I'm doing it for refuah? Omale, there's no problem. Can I be Meima to Miftach? Can I put it on my eyes? And like open my eyes, close my eyes to get it in the eye if I have an eye infection. Oh, Male Zolo Shamati. After all, you're not allowed to do open refuah on Shabbos. I never heard anybody talking about the Yama Mala, by the way. Now, even though this is the Mayim that comes from Sodom, and we say that the, obviously, Melech Sodomit blinds you, and that's the reason we do Mayim Achronim, there are some who say that really this is Melech Sodomit, means Melech from the Yama Melech from Sodom. Except that there is a difference, Tainas the Meiri, between using it in this fashion, where it's like poured over your eye and it's in solution, or actually some of the pure salt. Which is, and we often find things that are very damaging in one form are actually a thing to use in another form. Zulo Shamati. But I did hear something similar to that, because Rabbi Zera, sometimes in the name of Rav Matna, he said this, and sometimes he said in the name of Mar Ukva, and both Rav Matna and Mar Ukva were quoting Avuah d'Shmuel and Levi. Now, there were two things that they quoted. We're not sure which one, whether Avuah d'Shmuel said A or B, or Levi said B or A. We don't know. But we do know that one said that as far as healing your eye is concerned, you wash your eyes with wine. Okay, so that basically is alcohol, and it's very useful for infections, obviously. So if you use yayin, you can't put it in your eye, because that's something that isn't done by normal people. But people do use alcohol washes, and in those days, they would use a nice white wine, wash their face with it, which is the equivalent of Revlon's astringent, you know. So that would be in the eye, usser, on the eye, mutter. Okay, one said that. The other one, again, we're not sure who said what. But one said, rok tafel, even on the eye is us. Now, rok tafel is saliva that is sitting in your mouth a whole night. And basically, boy, that is powerful stuff, let me tell you. You want to get away from anybody that's got that in his mouth. But, believe it or not, so do bacteria. They run. So if you put some of that stuff even on your eye, it's ulcer, because no normal person would do that unless he needs a refuah. Now, tistayim da'avua, the shmuel of the omar yayin betocha ayin asur, agab ayin muta. You said we don't know whether it was Levi Abed or Shmuel, but I can trace who said what. Because Shmuel once said, Minyomar Shmuel, Shorei Adam Pito B'yayin, a guy can leave a piece of bread in wine, and then he can put that on his eye on Shabbat. Basically, like we use tea bags and so on for infections, it's a piece of bread with wine in it. And now I would assume that if Shmuel said that, and he's not quoting anybody on it, he must have heard it from that. Avodah Shmuel. So it must be Nishmuel Miman. Don't you think he heard it from his own father? Oh, well, that's a brilliant, brilliant conclusion, says the Gemara, because I also happen to know that when Shmuel said, Rok tafel agabe ayin aser, he must have heard that from dad also, to Shmuel Miman. I mean, if you tell me he heard that from dad, I guess when they were quoting Levi, that was a mistake. Levi didn't say either, Shmuel said both. So, in other words, Levi lo chad, he didn't say nothing. Obviously, one was heard from Avuah, one was heard from Levi. Now, I don't know which one was from Avuah, which one was from Levi. So what good is what you're telling me? No, you didn't. I'm Avuah, I'm Levi. Omar mar ukva, Omar Shmuel, shore adam kilorin. Me'erev Shabbat, v'notein agabeina v'shabbat, ve'eino koshesh. A person can prepare a solution for his eye on a bandage. It's there before Shabbat. Doesn't make it on Shabbat. You can put it on your eye on Shabbat. And you don't have to worry over there that that is considered to be people will thinking that he's creating refuot on Shabbat. Because oftentimes you put something damp on your face and so on. And therefore it's not considered to be a refuah, because by bedavka, by not making on Shabbat, no one's going to suspect. Bar Levi, Avikoy came to Marukva. Bar Levi was sitting there in front of Marukva, Chazed Avi Ma'it V'Pata, and he saw that he's like blinking his eyes, trying to get some liquid into it. Oh, Malena, hold on, man. Kulei Ay Vare Lo Shara Marshmu. Marshmu wasn't saying you can sit there and do what you would normally do if you were using something for refuah. You're only allowed to do this if nobody's going to realize it's being done for refuah. But the klal of refuah is that since we are afraid that ultimately people will themselves or someone who sees will manufacture the refuah. And remember, in those days, and actually until very, very recently, the only way to make a refuah was to grind up whatever it was you were going to put into it. You didn't take it out of an aluminum bubble. And therefore, we're afraid that you or someone else is going to go out and grind it on Shabbat, and that's going to end up being Mechalel Shabbat. So, okay, we do all of these things, because there's no Isser in refuah, really. But we do all of these things that don't obviously look like refuah. But the way you're carrying on with your eyes, it's obvious that you're doing it for refuah. And that, we were never matir. Sholach le Reb Yanai lamar ukva. Reb Yanai sent to Mar Ukva, "Hi, please, sir, lishtan." And Mar Ukva was a contemporary of Shmuel. He was actually the Avbez in Shmuel's time. Lishtan lamar me'anak hilurin to Mar Shmuel. You know, Mar Shmuel, famous doctor, and he had a concoction that he always would prescribe for eye problems. So Mar Ukva had some of this stuff. And Reb Yanai asked him, "Could you please FedEx me a bottle of this stuff?" So he sent him back a message in which he said, "Look, Shalach le Shidurim Mashran Alacha, I'm sending it to you, because otherwise you're going to think I'm really stingy. So lo te matzar ayin ana," speaking about eyes, yes, that's a pun. "Elohaki Omar Shmuel," but where Shmuel said, just you should know from now on, you don't really need this stuff. It's all basically a placebo. But okay, doctors, what can we do? We got to give placebos. But in general, you should know that tovat tipat sonen shacharit urechitzat yadayim raglayim bechamim arvit. The best thing you can do for your eyes, keep them clean. Keep your eyes, keep your hands out of your eyes. Wash your hands, wash your feet every evening well. You know, for those people who like to scratch their eyes with their feet, but actually a good, clean demeanor brightens your eyes. Some nice cold water, that's all you really need. As long as you don't touch them, Tana Miyokam Rabbi Munamishum Rabbi Yuda, Tovati Pat Sodin Shacharit, Rechitzat Yadayim Raglayim Arvit, Mikol Kilurin Shebaolam. Better than all of these placebos, which they claim is really curing you, would be to just keep things clean in the first place, and that's always a way. What's that? And that's a prevention. I mean, it's not clear that he means only as a prevention, but Hu Hayomer used to further say, these crazy people who will touch their body orifices before washing their hands in the morning with Nagel Vaser. Yeah. You put your hand in your eyes, better to cut off that hand. Yad la'ayin tikat se, cut that hand off. You want to lose your eyes or you want to lose your hand?
Washing one's hands.
In other words, better than touching your eye with your hand would be to cut off the hand.
Without washing.
Without washing, obviously. Yeah. In other words, do not let your eye touch your hand. The hand touch your eye in the morning. Yad l'chotem tikat se, your eye to your nostrils. Cut it off better. Keep it out of your nose, you idiot. Yad l'peh, don't put your hand into your mouth before washing in the morning. Yad l'ozen tikatzet, keep those hands out of your ears. Yad l'chasuda tikatzet, chasuda is basically a blood test mark, where it still hasn't completely closed up. Of course, they used to actually let blood, but that is right there, opens right into your body. Not a good idea to touch your veins that are now exposed to whatever bacteria you got to stuff up there. Keep it clean, baby. Yad la'amati katzeitz. Get your hand off of that penis. Now the question is why? Is that because you're going to hurt yourself because it's open or because you may end up turning yourself on? That's two completely different possibilities. We'll see in a moment how it fits in to the rest of the Gemara. But remember, we had the Yad la'amati katzeitz in Gemara Nida. That was entirely in terms of masturbation, nothing to do with taking care of cleanliness. So we'll see in a moment. Yad la'pitabaat. Keep your hands out of your anus. Now, there again, the question is, does this mean in the morning before washing? And it causes some kind of damage like any other bodily orifice. So this is a ruach ra issue. Or, as Rashi learns, if you've touched your anus or you've touched your penis, will you please keep your hands away from your eyes? Thank you. So he does not see this as being part of the previous, but makes it possible that this is just another thing to avoid. First of all, avoid touching body orifices. I don't care how clean your hands are, but if you haven't washed them like six times in the morning, don't touch them. And if you touch parts of your body that may be collecting material, bacteria, then legigit tikat seitz. If you're making beer, do not touch that beer before you wash Nagel Vaser. My God, it's going to poison all of that beer. You should know that a yad, in general, will cause blindness if it isn't washed to your eye. A yad will be makharesh, it will cause you to go deaf. Yad mala polypus. If you touch your nostrils, you're going to end up with some kind of polyp growing. God knows what you're putting in there. And we will see tomorrow exactly the name of the demon that causes all of this. Oh, vicious young lady.
Omar Shmuel, Hasholed Dag Minayam, Kivan Shiavashbo Kisela Hayav, Omre Bezberovinu Ben Snapirav, Omre Vashilotema Yavash Mamashala Filodavar Riri, Omar Marbaram Duri Omar Shmuel, Hoshit Yadulame Ebe Mavadil Del Ubar Shibeme Ea Hayav, my time out, Omar Rova Altaya Baram Duri Asbroli, Lav Omre of Shishis I Mandatolish Kishutam is me vegim Mikhail Mishumoker Dover Megidula, Hokanami Mikhail Mishumoker Dover Megidula, which is either Kotzer, Nitilat Nishama, in this case according to Ramban, or it is Gozeis according to others. Omrabai. I'm on the Talash Pitra, mi una de Katzpa, Mechai Bishum Oker Davar mi Yidula. Modi Revo Shaya Tolesh mi Atsitz Nakuf Chayab, Vishenu Nakuf Patur. Hotam Lav Hainu Revite, Ach Hainu Revite. Chayab of Amravuna, what about Of for Tefillin? Kotvin Tefillin Agavi Orshel of Tahor. Amrav Yosef, Maika Mashva Dizay Or. It's what the Mishnah said. Hakovel ben Chayav. Omalei Abaya, no, tuva kamashvlan. Dimi matni tirava mirekimidit peidik veidik velo. Kamashvlan kriyamri memarava. Kol nekev shadio veret alav. Eno nekev. Meitve Rabbi Zera bichnafav lakshirata or. Vihisagadaitach or hu hechi marbilekro. Amalabai or Huvrachmana Ravia, Ikriam Ramar Vizera, Afananamitanina, Bichnafar the Rabotat or, so Yam Bishlama or Hu. That would explain why Yitzhak Raluluye. Eliamad Lav or Hu, then what do I need a positive marbe if it's just Bosser? Amalayabai, well, I could still argue that Leola may belong Lav or Hu. The only reason we need that positive is because Salkadat Hamina, given to eat by Pirzi, Pirzi, it's pretty moist. Come on, Shwaman. By my name, Marbury, the Ravina of Nachum by Yitzchak. Mao Lichtov, Tefillin, Agabi, Or, Shodak, Tahor, Omar, Leim, Yavoy, Leovi, Omar. What is that supposed to mean, Yavoy, Leovi, Omar? What? Ilay, Madit, Leor, Yelet, Leor, use your eyes, or Kachazina, Dit, Leor. Not to mention the fact that it's a preferred remission, Olot, Atzamot, Adag, the Orom, Atzilin, Beolamet. No, I meant to Azim, Yavoy, Leovi, Omar, Ipaskazuama, Minel, or Paskazuama, Minel. Shmuel v'karna v'yatvi agudin nar malka chazana l'mayet kadalu v'achire omale Shmuel v'karna must be that a gavra rabba is ka'ati mima'arova v'chayish v'me'e v'kadalu mayalak bulay ape. Come here. So zil toile akan kami ozo ashkel rab omale minayin shen kotvin tefilin el agavi or be'ma tohra omale tichtiv l'manti ator v'shem b'ficha menavuta b'ficha midayin l'dam sho adon shenamra v'yirumu aminegat atamayim adumim kedam midayin l'mila shebato makom namakan arlato v'namar l'alan arlato ma'al alan dover sho sepri afkan dover sho sepri ema libo tichtiv l'maltem et orlat l'vavchem ema ozno tichtiv inei orla oznam. But because danin orlato tamam yorlato tamam ain danin orlato tamam yorlat ha ha what? Sheno tamam? Hey, by the way, my shimcha, Karna. Ha! Ye rabba the typically like Karna bane. What a jerk. Lasov Aile Shmulabete, Okli Nama de Sari, Kasadar San, Ashkaya Shikra, Vloak Vile Beta Kise, Kech the Lishtalsha, Light Rav, Amamanda Mitzaran, Loluk Mua Le Bani, Vachin Avi. Kitsando, Minayan the Mila Shibotomakum Nemakan or Lato, Nemalan or Lato, Mala Landovershaw Sapri, Afghan Dovershaw Sapri, Divi Rabbi Yosha, Rabbi Natan or Eno Tsarich, Ari Omer Varal Zakhar, Asher Loyamulat Tsar Lato. Well, why are we mentioning the Zakhar? Obviously, it's a mokum Shaniker, Ben Zakhrut Lenakvut. Tana Rabbana, Kotvin Tefillin Agabe Or Beima Torah, Agabe Or Chayat Torah, Agabe Or Nevelot V'Trefot Shelahem, V'Nichrachot B'Saran, V'Nitvorot B'Gidan, V'Tzalach L'Mashi B'Sinan, you need to use the same kind of animal. Sh'atvilin Nichrachot B'Saran, Nitvorot B'Gidan. Aval Ein Kotvin Lo Agabe Or Beima Tmeya, Lo Agabe Or Beima Or Chayat Tmeya, V'Ein Tzarech Loma Agabe Or Nevelot V'Trefot Shelahem, and Ein Nichrachin B'Saran, V'Ein Nitvorot Begidan, and actually Zor Sheila Shoal by Tusi Achad at Rabbi Yoshua Hagarsi. Minayin Shein Kotvin Tefillin Al Or Beimat Meah. Tektiv Laman Tiye Torat Hashem Beficha Davar Mutar Beficha Lameata Gabi Or Nivelot V'Trefot Al Yikatevu Also. Omer Leim Sholach Hamashal Lama Davar Dome. L'Shnei Minei Adam Shitchavu Arigal Malchut. Echad Arago Melech V'Echad Arago Yispak Litor Eze Meim Meshubach. Avi Yomer Zeshan Arago Melech El Shemiat. I'm like, what kind of nonsense? I'm like, I'm like, I'm like, in Osini Hilmi Bishabat, Avalosod Be Melach, Vitovel Ben Pitovet, in the Tokat of Shia. Ombre Biosi, what kind of nonsense is that? Who Hilmi Ben Ruba May Muat? Elohim May Melach Mutarin, if you first mix it with Shaman, either the Tokamayim, the Tokamelach, but you don't make the May Melach first. Micah Omar in the Mishnah. On Rebbe Yirmiyahu, basically, what it's saying about Hilmi is that Eino Asin Mei Melach Merubin that you would then package with a fancy Hilmi label and charge 10 times as much. Aval also Mei Melach Muatin. On Rebbe Yosef, who Hilmi Bein Merubin Bein Muat? Me boy, Rebbe Yosef Leesor or Latir? On Rebbe Yirmiyahu, I guess Latir. Middle Oak under Rebbe Yosef Yoser. Omalei Rabba, well, you guessed wrong. I'm going to tell you, safe of Elohim may melach hamutarin, only if it's mixed with oil, because the Rabbi Yosef less sore. Elohim Rabba, of course it's less sore. V'chenom Rabbi Yochanan less sore. And indeed, Tanya Namiyachi, Eino Asin may melach merubin, letet letoch hakvashin shebetoch gistra, avalosehu may melach muatin, v'ochel ve'an pito, v'notet letoch hatafshil. Are we to conclude that a malacha meruba is asura malacha mu'etet muteret? Therefore, the Braita has spelled out every last thing that we just assumed on our own. Tony Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva. Ein hazim ei melach azin. Mai mei melach azin. Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Nam Tavayo. Kosh ha-beitzat safa behen v'kama. Om Rabbi Atrei tiltei milcha v'tiltei maya. L'maya avde l'am Rabbi Lamura isa. Tony Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva in mokin tzon ha-beitza v'shabad. Rabbi Chizke mishmei da abai om ha-tznon asur. But a beitza is just flavor and that's muteret. Om Rabbi Nachman Mireish avim balach to pugla because amin av tzidikam efsadnalei. Because after all, Shmuel said only a pugla churpe is male. But then I heard that when Ula came, he said b'marav amalki kishrei kishrei. So now mimlach lo malach, but I still do tvule v'adimat belina before eating as part of my achila. Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva etrog tzono beitza il malek lipatanach nitzona eni atzivin de me'ayim lo olam. Ke'ot Rav Dimi amar mi'olam lo tova gavra b'yamad estom. Om Rav Yehuda, what a waste of time. Afucha estom, afucha mila. Was that supposed to mean? Gavur lo tava kishura tava. I'm like, no. Let me buy karma. Let me buy kishura. Obviously, afil b'chimot shavolam lo tava. We're saying afil gavra the tava b'chomim mot shavolam beyamad estom lo tava, and that teaches you a din. Lamai nafkamina kader ravin. I'm shocked because I heard the Rav Yirmiyah aguda deyamad estom. I'm like, mala mimchi me'ani ma'ay b'shabbat. I'm like, shaper dami. Mala meimatz v'la miftach. Omalei zolo shamati, b'kiyotzi bar shamati. Ne'omer Rabbi Zera zin ne'omer l'shmeid Rav Masna zin ne'omer l'shmeid Mar Ukva v'tavar l'shmeid Avodah Shmuel v'Levi. Amrin that one, either Avodah Shmuel or Levi, said that Yayim b'toch ayin asr, but agav ayin mutar. And one, either Avodah Shmuel or Levi, said rok tafel afil agav ayin is asr. Tis time the Avodah Shmuel d'amr Yayim b'toch ayin asr. Agav ayin mutar, because after all, we know that Shmuel mentioned that. Now, where did he get that from? Love the Shmuel le'miavua? Oh, great. Well, the time Yechadah Mashmuel wrote Tafel, Afil Agav Ayin Osir, you can make the same argument. Shmuel le'miman? I mean, if you can tell me the Shmuel le'miavua, then I guess that cuts Levi out completely, right? Ela Levi lo chodama. And that was the point. Wow, could you give us any of those incredible, famous Shmuel brand kilurim? Shalach lei, look, shadur b'shadana l'cha, because I don't want you to think that I'm a tzara ayin, Anna. Elohachem Shmuel, tovati patzonin shacharit v'rechitzat yadayim reglayim v'chamin arvid, mikol kilurim shba'olam. Tanin ameyachon remunem b'shimun b'yuda, tovati patzonin shacharit v'rechitzat yadayim reglayim arvid, mikol kilurim shba'olam. Hu haya omer yad l'ayin, take a tzait. Yad lechotam, take a tzitz. Yad lepet, take a tzitz. Yad lozen, take a tzitz. Yad lechasuda, take a tzitz. Yad lamat, take a tzitz. Yad lepitaba, take a tzitz. Yad legigit, yad take a tzitz. Yad misameh, yad mahareshet, yad mala pulipos. Keep your hands to yourself.